We're going to jump right now into our Blue Zone Secrets. As those of you that have been coming know, we've been covering a Blue Zone Secret each and every night. The practical, everyday secrets of these people that live well into their hundreds and beyond. In fact, the longest living people in America. Now, a little review here just again, just to see if you guys are paying attention, tracking with me here. 5 Blue Zones. All right, Okinawa, Japan, what's another one? Loma Linda, what's another one? Okinawa, got that one already? Sardinia, yeah, Italy, I mean, Greece. And Costa Rica, got them. So we talk about all the 4 Blue Zones that are outside of America, Japan, Italy, Greece, and Costa Rica. Those 4 are decreasing in the number of those that live into their hundreds. But there's one that is increasing, and that one is Loma Linda, California, the individuals living there. So we see, we want to understand their secrets. How are they able to live healthier and live so long? We found the first secret was what? It was the message of the 3 angels, Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12. That is the foundational secret that we're covering each and every night. Very, very important. Number 2 was last night. Anyone remember last night? Or not last night. No. By the way, did anyone come last night? I'm sorry. We weren't here. Yeah, Mondays are our nights off. So don't come next Monday either. Every night but Monday we'll be here. But we covered on that night, do not what? Do not smoke. There's one of the most terrible ways you can find the disease is through smoking. Don't want to do that. Number 3, tonight we're going to cover one more, and that is eat more plants and eat less meat. That's one of the secrets of this Blue Zone. What they found through studies is that those who eat less meat and those who eat more plants live longer, live healthier, and avoid lifestyle-related diseases like heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, high blood pressure. All these things can be in a large degree avoided through applying this simple principle of eating more plants and eating less meat. Now, we can't go into all the details of why that's important today. All the studies that have been done, all the books that have been written about these things. There's multitudes of studies and things to prove this out. But I'm going to share a couple important points of why eating a plant-based diet is so important. How many of you know of a nutrient, in plants that is not found in animal products that's very important for your health? What is it? Got him. What's your name again? Abraham. Thank you for that one. He got it right on the head. That is fiber. Is your name Abraham? Okay, good. Fiber, fiber, fiber. Fiber is very important. Now, what is fiber? Yeah, it's not easily broken down or digested in your digestive system. It comes out. It flows into you and flows out of you, taking with it many things that are not good and just cleaning and flushing you out. That's what fiber is. 3% of Americans get the daily recommended fiber per day. Only 3. That's a very small number. The daily recommended fiber intake per day is 25 to 35 grams of fiber. Now, I recommend getting a little bit more than that, if you can. It's not going to hurt you. It's only going to help you, guaranteed. But at least 25 to 30 grams each day found in plant foods only, not at all in animal products whatsoever. High fiber diets appear to reduce the risk for cancer of the colon, the breast, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and stroke. Powerful stuff. I mean, if you were to do one thing in your diet, to change one thing, if you were to increase the fiber, that could completely transform your risk factors for death and disease in a drastic way. So you may be asking the question, well, Wesley, what should I eat that has fiber? Can anyone think of a high fiber food? Apples. Yeah, that's true. Apples are pretty high fiber. What else? I heard it. Beans? Yes. Very high in fiber. In fact, I have a list for you right here. Sweet potatoes, yes, high in fiber, those root fruits. Okay, I don't know if you can see that or not. Yeah, it's pretty high. Avocados are a big one there. You probably didn't know that. Avocados are high in fiber. The majority of things on this list are actually beans, but we see other things like green peas, broccoli is high in fiber, bran cereal, raspberries, those are like fruit, brown rice. So we see there's lots of foods that have great fiber, but beans in general are high in fiber. So including that in your diet is really good. Also, some other things, almonds, apples, like you know, someone mentioned apples, bananas, blueberries, high fiber foods. My breakfast is full of fiber. I eat a bunch of fruit almost every day, right? A bunch of like blueberries and strawberries and some almonds and usually an apple. I put that all in a bowl and I put a few scoops of steel cut oatmeal on top with some dates, and that thing is incredible. Yum. Delicious, nutritious, and packed with about, I don't know, about 20 grams of fiber in that one bowl. And it's awesome. Love it. For lunch, like today's lunch for me, my wife made a beautiful, delicious kale Caesar salad with garbanzos in it and some romaine lettuce. It was delicious and nutritious and even expeditious. Because she made it, not me. Praise the Lord. But great. So, I mean, you can incorporate fiber into your diet in a powerful way. Also had we had chili today, too, which was black beans and corn and things like that. It was delicious, nutritious. And I feel really good today, actually, because of eating those meals. And also, I got to exercise today. That's very important. We're going to talk about that in a later night, of course. I'm talking about a lot of things here. But fiber. Okay, we're going to move on. So, the number three Blue Zone secret is eat more... plants and eat less meat. Now, what about meats? Is meat good for you? I'm not going to go into detail tonight about meat. No need to do it. But I will tell you this. Studies have shown again and again and again that meat is not good for health. Specifically, we know this. Like red meats, for sure, people know that it's not good. People talk about the other white meat being pork as something somewhat healthy, but studies have shown not healthy. It's full of trichina larvae and worms that can grow to your brain. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. Don't want to miss that one. Also, but what about chicken? Like, isn't chicken okay? I'm going to show you something, a real quick study on chicken. So in a study of about 500,000 people, they took these people and they analyzed those who ate at least 50 grams of chicken per day. White meat, right? The chicken breasts. Lean, right? Well, they found that eating that chicken increased their chances of cancer by 72%. Incredible, right? So, it's not safe. All I'm telling you is it's not safe. I want to tell you what's best, right? You can do whatever you want. You don't have to do what I tell you. Amen? You don't have to do what I tell you. I'm just going to tell you what's best, and you can take it for what it is, all right? And you can apply it however you like. But I tell you what, when I started eating on God's forever lifestyle plan, whoo, boy, I'm telling you, my life has never been the same. Amen? I mean, I have more energy, more drive. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life ever right now. And I tested that the other day, right? I played basketball. And in high school, I was, playing on the team and whatever, and I tore my ACL. And I remember back at that time, my junior year in high school, I was just about dunking, almost dunking, right? Just close. And I would always measure where the rim was on my fingers, right, so I could see how high I'm getting. And I just tested the other day, and I'm higher on the rim now than I ever have been before. I was like, whoa, Lord. That's great. I've been following you. I mean, I haven't been even trying to play basketball, and you're helping my health by the simple things that I am doing. I'm seeing improvements already. I'm telling you, this thing is incredible. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that for now. We're going to move on to the message for tonight. I'm really excited about this message, and it's entitled, Revelation is Key to Longevity. We've been talking about living long and things of this nature, and we're going to see what God's Word says about that tonight. Before I do, I'm going to say a word of prayer. You can remain seated. I'm going to go ahead and kneel. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to understand more about your word. Please speak to us. Allow us to hear your voice. Allow us to understand what you want us to understand tonight. Hide me behind the cross and allow your glory, your light, and your power to be seen alone. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so talking about Revelation's key to longevity. As you know, if you've been coming, we've been covering the three angels' messages point by point by point. Tonight, we're going to dig deeper into a certain point that's going to talk about longevity. You may be surprised at this. Look what the Bible says. Revelation 14, verse 6 through and 7. Now, we've already covered this before. I'm going to read it again. It says, "Then I saw another angel doing what? Flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." Just as a point, this message needs to go how far? Everywhere. To everyone. Going on. So we covered the gospel the last two nights. Now we're going to move on to the next point. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God. And give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him who made heaven, earth, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." So we see the first portion of this second half of the first angel's message is fear God. Now, when you think of the word fear, do happy thoughts come into your mind? No, generally fear is not something that we understand. What does it mean to fear God? Fear is not a good thing, right? I mean, the Bible itself says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but that of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what does this mean to fear God? This guy right here has fear God tattooed on his eyelids. And many other people I've seen have tattoos that say fear God and things of that nature. What does it mean? Right? I mean, being afraid. Does it mean being afraid of God? Trembling and not understanding him fully? What does it mean to fear God? I'm hearing things. What do you guys say? Respect, honor, worship, reverence. Those are good words. Love and obey. This is very important for us to understand. Now, I'm hearing what you guys are saying, but what we're going to do tonight, we're going to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Amen? Because it's important for us not to get our own definition of the Word of God and think of what we think of as being the definition of what of fearing God means. It's important for us to go to God's Word and see what God's Word says. Amen? Here a little, there a little, going back and forth, precept upon precept, line upon line, in the Word of God to figure out what this thing means. God is begging us to read His Word. Amen? You see, today, oftentimes, people are no longer reading the Bible. We have Bibles everywhere. There's a time when they didn't have the Bible, where Bibles were being gathered up and burned in the Dark Ages. We have the Bible today, but unfortunately, people aren't reading the Bible today. The Bible says in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 that there would come a time in Earth's history where there'd be a famine in the land, a famine not of bread and a famine that's not of water, but guess what the famine's of? A famine not of the Word of God, but of the hearing and doing of the Word of God. And God is begging us, especially at this time, to understand and read and know what God's Word is saying. So we're going to go into what God's Word tonight. What does the Bible say about the fear of God? We're going to get a Bible definition, going here a little, there a little, finding out what God says about fearing Him. We're going to look at three questions tonight. How many questions? Three questions is there in your handout. You can fill in the blanks there. The three questions we're going to ask are these. What is the fear of the Lord? So just definition-wise, from the Bible, what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of God? Number two, why should we fear the Lord? So first, we're looking at the definition. Second, we're looking at the motivation. Why should we fear God? What should drive us to that thing that He's commanding us to do? Number three is what happens as a result of fearing the Lord. What happens when we fear God? What does God promise us if we do that thing right there? We're going to answer these three questions tonight from the Word of God by His grace. Here we go. The first question is, what is the fear of the Lord? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 says this. Now, let me just tell you something real quick before we get into this. Anytime you want to understand Scripture, and what something means, like if you go to reverse and you don't understand what it means, what should you do? Pray, of course. Anytime you open the scriptures, you should pray, no matter what. What else should you do? Yeah, that's a good thing, right? So look for that same word in other places. That's a good thing to do, to figure out where that word is used and in what context that verse is used in other places and other times. So that's what we're going to do today. That's one of the methods of studying the Word of God. We're going to look at the different contexts of where this phrase, the fear of the God or the fear of the Lord, is used in Scripture. So Proverbs 3, verse 7, it says this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and do what? Depart from evil. So we see here a quick tip, that the fear of the Lord has to do with departing from evil. Very simple, very basic. Okay, let's look at another verse. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. It says this. The fear of the Lord is to do what? I didn't hear it. To do what?
Hate evil.
Hate evil, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. So we see here that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It is to hate what God hates. That is part of what the fear of the Lord is. So the fear of the Lord is to hate and depart from evil. That's one point. What else is it? Let's go somewhere else in Scripture and see what else the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says this, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and with all your soul. So the Bible is saying here is the fear of the Lord is to walk in his ways and to specifically love him. The fear of the God is really the opposite of what we're thinking of. And it's going to come together as we look more and more as to what this fear of the God is. But we see here that it means to walk in his ways and to love him. Okay, let's move forward. So we say it's to hate evil, to hate and depart from evil. It's also to love God, follow in his statutes, follow his ways. And we're going to find one more thing. The fear of the Lord, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, it says this, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you and you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So what God is saying here is that the fear of the Lord is to keep his statutes and his commandments. Very clear there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2. Another verse to buttress that point, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all, or the whole duty of man. So we find here a very simple definition of what it means to fear God. Number one, it means to depart and to hate evil. Number two, to love God. And number three, to keep his commandments. If you love me, the Bible says, do what? Keep my commandments. So God, what God is telling us here is that the fear of God has to do with these three things. To depart and hate evil, to love God, and to keep his commandments. And in fact, Revelation 22 verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the... So he says something very, very powerful. We've been talking about the connection of the tree of life that we see in Revelation. That tree of life is going to go to those who fear God. And what is fearing God? Hating, departing from evil, loving God, and keeping his commandments. We'll have access to the tree of life. Now, where are the commandments found in the scriptures? Correct. Someone said Exodus chapter 20. We're not going to go there tonight, but we're going to go there actually on Thursday night. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to verse 17. We find the commandments. They're written there. They're also, that's the Ten Commandments, and they're also written in Deuteronomy as well, chapter 5. So we see there that the commandments are written for our good, and God wants us to keep these commandments, and they are not grievous. Look at this. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 165, great peace How many of you want great peace? Anyone here want great peace? I know I do. Great peace have those which do what? Love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The law of God is a great thing. And when we are obedient to God and fearing God in that way, we will have great peace according to God's word. So we found here the three things that kind of define and summarize what God's or the fear of the Lord is. To hate evil and depart from evil. Number two, to love God. And number three, to keep God's commandments. Very important. Very simple. Basic definition of what the fear of God is. Now, I think that in order to understand the fear of God more, we have to go into why, the next question, which is why we fear the Lord. That's the next question. So we answer the first question, what is the fear of the Lord? Number two, why should we fear the Lord? Anyone have a guess? Why should we fear the Lord? Yes, yes. Let's go to the Word of God and see what it says. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Why? For consider what great things he has done for you. The reason we fear God is not because we're afraid of him, not because we're trembling, thinking he'll strike us down with a lightning bolt from heaven. The reason that we fear God and obey him and love him is because of what he has done for us. Has the Lord Jesus done anything for you? Yes. Oh, yes, he has. You know, some of us have been in bondage before. In bondage to many things. The Bible calls sin bondage. Sin is slavery, and all of us have been in bondage to sin at some time or another. It could look in a different form or a different fashion. It could be addiction. It could be drugs. It could be sex. It could be pornography. It could be work. It could be pride. It could be arrogance. It could be a variety of things. But God has power to set us free from the bondage that Satan has into sin. Amen. God is able to deliver us, and those who he makes free are free indeed. Praise God. Christ is the one that breaks the chains. He breaks the bondage that we are in, and he gives us freedom. And because of that, because of what he has done for us, that is why we are to fear him. Because of what he has done for us. It's really not being afraid of God, but being afraid of what sin does to us and to God in reality. So the first thing here is, why should we fear the Lord? Because of what he has done for us. Well, there's a second reason as well. A second reason is this. Look at Psalm chapter 130, verse 3 and verse 4. This is one of the most powerful scriptures that I've ever seen in my life. I really love this scripture. It says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? So what it's saying here is that, Lord, if you were to mark down all these things, no one would be able to stand before you. But there is what? There is forgiveness with you that you may be. Isn't that interesting? There is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Huh. What does that mean? Why would you equate forgiveness with the fear of God? Hold on to that. We're going to explain that in just a moment. We see here that because God forgives us, this is a motivation for us to fear him and to love him and to keep his commandments. We'll give you an illustration. Mary Magdalene. How many of you heard of Mary Magdalene before? Anyone here heard of Mary Magdalene, right? Was she a saint? No, she had been involved in some things that she knew she should not have been involved in. She was a prostitute, in fact, and had come to Christ and gone back, and come to Christ and gone back, and come to Christ and gone back again and again and again. But each time she came to Christ, what did he do? He forgave her. He forgave her. He gave mercy to her, and she was one of the first ones to be there when he was resurrected. We see that one day before Christ was crucified, she came to this great event, this great party that Simeon was putting on. And as he came to this party, she snuck in and took her box of ointments and broke it there at Jesus' feet and began to wash his feet with her tears and with the ointment and to dry the feet with her hair. And as she broke that box, the fragrance went everywhere. And the disciples, they're like, oh, what in the world? What is she doing? Like, this looks so bad. I mean, it's not a good look. This could be so many different memes, right? It's terrible. And Christ read their hearts. He saw their hearts, especially Judas, who said, this could have been used for to give to the poor and sold. Look at that ointment. And he says, no. What she's done for me, she's done for my burial. She knew, she believed that I was going to die. And she did this in preparation for my death. Do not come against her. And he goes on to say this. Look at this. This is powerful. Luke 7, verse 41 through 43. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. This story he told the people that were there. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely did what? Forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave what? More. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. You see, he told Simon, you didn't give me anything to wash my feet when I came in. You didn't do anything. No servant. You didn't do it yourself. But she has done it. She's poured out her life because she knows she has been forgiven so much. Amen? When we know that we've been forgiven by God, when we know that he has cleansed us from our sins, we no longer want to do those things that hurt him. We want to give our lives to him. It goes on to say, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. What it's saying here is that we need to understand the power of God's forgiveness. Amen? You see, she understood what forgiveness cost. She understood what Christ was about to do. He was about to go to the cross for her sins. Let me ask you a question. What does forgiveness cost? I mean, let me put it this way. Let's say I came to you and I said, can I borrow $1,000? And you say, okay, of course, sure, why not? And I borrow the $1,000. But then I never repay him. Now, I owe him how much? $1,000. If he forgives me, how much does that forgiveness cost? $1,000. Yeah, right? He loses out. If he forgives me, he says, okay, I forgive you. You don't have to pay your debt. But that costs him $1,000. So how much does forgiveness from God cost? It costs everything. It costs the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is the important point. When we understand this, we understand why the fear of God has to do with forgiveness. Because we understand that every time that we sin and ask for forgiveness, that is costing Christ his very life. Every time we fall into sin, we're saying we're crucifying Christ afresh according to what the Bible says. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, in verse 6, it says, they crucify again to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Every time we sin again and again and again and ask for forgiveness, we are once again inflicting that pain upon Christ that he felt upon the cross. So when it says that there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared, it's saying that, you know what? I respect the fact that you have paid for my forgiveness. I understand the pain that forgiveness has caused you. That pain, that forgiveness costs something. It wasn't free. It costs something to God, and he feels that pain every time. And so when we come to God and we understand what he's given for us, we can say, Lord, I don't want to sin anymore. I'm afraid of sin, not because of what it does to me, but also because of what it does to you in hurting you each time that I sin. Not afraid of God, but a fear of hurting God. Do you know that our sin hurts God? It hurts Jesus every time. The cross was simply a revelation to our dull senses of the pain that Christ has felt ever since the beginning of sin. And so the fear of the Lord is not a fear of being afraid of God, but a fear of hurting Him. That's what it's about. Why should we fear the Lord? Because of what He's done for us, number one. And because, number two, because He has forgiven us. We understand the price that was paid for our forgiveness. Therefore, we don't want to hurt Him anymore. We're afraid of hurting the one who gave so much for us. Amen? You know, when I realized how much I hurt my mom through my sin, you know, my mom would spend hours late at night begging and pleading for my soul. When I was out doing foolishness in the world, she was praying for me, praying and agonizing over what I had done to her and what I was doing to other people. She was praying, praying, agonizing, and asking for God to have His mercy upon me. And when I realized how much my mom prayed for me, when I realized how much she was giving to me and how much what I was doing was hurting her, when God showed me that thing, I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to see her go through any pain anymore. When I knew what I was causing her, I didn't want to do that anymore. And God wants the same thing for us. To be afraid of hurting Him. Not afraid of Him, but afraid of hurting Him and causing Him pain. The Bible says here, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not what?" That's what God wants. He wants us to come to Him, no matter what our past condition was, come to Him and say, "Lord, I want You and You alone. I want to fear You. I want to fear what it means, or fear hurting You, and give my life into Your hands." And not be someone that hurts you, but someone that puts a smile on your face. Amen? Do y'all want to put a smile on the face of God? Amen? That's what I want to do too. All right, so we looked at three questions. What is the fear of God? Why should we fear the Lord? And the last one is, what happens when we fear the Lord? What happens? What is the result in our life when we fear God? Peace is true, that's for sure. We looked at that one earlier. We get everlasting peace. Look at this. The fear of the Lord prolongs what? Prolongs days. But the years of the wicked will be... What God is saying is, when you follow my word, I prolong your life. I give you more life, in fact. Isn't that a blessing? Look what it says here. Proverbs 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. What God is saying is, if you follow me, if you follow my word, if you keep my commands and love me, guess what? I'm going to give you life and life more. Isn't that a blessing? Just following what God says, when we fear Him and honor Him and seek not to hurt Him anymore, He gives us abundant life. Not only spiritual life, but physical life. And that's all bared out. We can see it right here. We've been talking about the Blue Zones. These people who are not just doing it because of health, they're doing it because of what God's word says. Amen? How many years of life longer do they get? 10, an average of 10 good additional years, plus life forevermore. Amen? Powerful. God's word is God's word true? He said it, and it's happening. It's being played out in the statistics as we speak. When we fear God, He will prolong our days and give us abundant life. Let's do a quick review together. All right, three questions. What is the fear of the Lord? Anyone know? What are the three things? Yep, hate and depart from evil, to love God and to keep His commandments. That's what the fear of the Lord is, definition-wise. Why should we fear the Lord? Because of what He's done for us and because He has forgiven us. We found that not afraid of God, but a fear of hurting God. Number three, what happens when we fear the Lord? He'll prolong our days. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened, the Bible says. We find very clearly here that God wants us to fear Him, but fear is not being afraid. No, it's understanding the great sacrifice He has given for us and taking into account in our own lives the blessing of his forgiveness. Amen? And not taking it for granted. I took God's grace for granted for many years. And it brings sadness to my heart even now to think of those times that I disregarded God and his word and how he felt when I did certain things. But because I understand now more, and I'm still understanding more of God's character, looking at the sacrifice that Christ has given for us, it causes me to say, Lord, I don't want to hurt you anymore. I want to bring you peace. I want to bring you joy because of what you have done for me. Amen? The Bible says here, say with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. When we do this very thing, God will bless us. And those that are following this message are experiencing this very thing. Amen? As we bring this to a close, I want to tell you a quick story. There was a terrible thing that happened in the 1990s in Rwanda. Anyone know what happened there? There was genocide. Terrible, terrible events. I've spoken to a few people who have spoken to people that went through that experience, and it was indeed terrible. Millions were lost in that terrible, terrible thing. And a pastor friend of mine was there, and he had went to this place, and he began to ask questions about who had been there and what family members had been lost and who had lost loved ones in the genocide. And everyone he talked to, it seemed like, had lost someone. But there was one specific lady that he talked to whose story was amazing. He asked her about the story, and they heard, he came into this lady's home and asked her to tell the story of what had happened to her and her experience. And she tells the story that they're being chased by the militia. And as they're being chased, they go into this place where they thought they would be able to find refuge, a church, and they went into the basement. And there was all about 40 of them huddled down in the basement for days. All of a sudden, the men came in with their machetes and their guns. They began chopping at people and just taking away everyone, killing everyone and leaving them there. I mean, this was genocide. It was terrible. There was bodies piled up in the river, bodies piled everywhere. And they came to the woman that was telling the story. And they said that the man came to her with a machete, took it, and it's right down the center of her skull. They took a machete and chopped her hand. And her hand was like just dangling when she was telling the story. She pulled back her hair and you could see the scar all the way through, and they left her there, left everyone there for dead. She was there for 3 days until some individuals came and they rescued her, and fortunately at that point the fighting was slowing down in that area and stopped overall soon after that, and she was in the hospital, in and out of the hospital for 3 years, just back and forth trying to figure out if she would live. The people had found her and she had a pulse, and they tried to get her as much help as possible, and she was struggling for life. Well, a few years later, the people, justice was coming to those who had done some unspeakable crimes at that time. And many jails were set up, and about 180,000 people went to jail. And she was, this lady was kind of bitter in her heart, so kind of just not feeling like she had that connection with God that she had used to have. And she decided, you know what, Lord, I need to go back to those individuals. Go to those prisons and serve them. So she began to do that. She would go into the prison and she would bring them blankets and she would bring them clothes and she would bring them food. And certain people began to say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And she said, because God loves me. He forgave me and I can forgive for what was done to me. She began to give some of the individuals Bible studies as she was there. And then one day, all of a sudden, this man came to her feet as she was handing out food, and he began crying and weeping at her feet. And then he stood up. And then terror began to strike her heart because she recognized that that was the man who had sliced her in the head and who had also, in fact, had killed her husband that was sitting right next to her. She saw him. And she says, the man says, I don't know if you remember me. And she says, I do. I've been trying to erase the memory of your face since I saw you that first time. And she says, you know what? He says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the things that I've done to you. I'm so sorry for the things that I did to your husband. I don't know if you could ever find it in your heart to forgive me. And she's there, he's weeping, and she's weeping there, and the love of God floods her heart, and she says, of course, I forgive you. But she didn't only forgive him. She said, I want to show you what God's love is all about. And she began to come every day, every other day to his cell and to share with him the word of God day by day, opening the word of God, showing the love of God to this man who had killed her husband and had almost killed her. And as the person that told the story was sitting there in her home, he's just awestruck. Like, wow, what amazing forgiveness. But then the woman said, it doesn't stop there. A few years later, the young man got out of prison. And she said his name. And he walked around the corner and came into the room. She adopted him into her home as a son. And he was now living there with her, helping her out, being a son to her. The forgiveness was real. And as he came in, tears were streaming down his eyes as he had recounted, as she was telling the story, the experience. But now his life was different. Amen? He feared not her, but he feared hurting her. He served her the rest of his life. He helped her. He was a son to her. He took care of her because of what she had done for him in giving forgiveness. That is exactly what Christ, and greater than what Christ has done for us. Amen? He has given his life for us. He has sacrificed everything on our behalf. And he's given us forgiveness. All he asks in return is for us to give our hearts to him. Amen? To serve him, to no longer hurt him, to no longer put him upon that cross. Every time we sin, we do that. And God's saying, no, I don't want you to do that anymore. Can you give your heart to me and I'll help you to overcome the things that are sin in your life? Amen? We can't do it ourselves. We need his help. So tonight, I'm going to ask us, as I always do, to make a decision for Christ tonight. Amen? It's important that we always act upon God's word. It's not good just to hear God's word. We need to make decisions in our hearts and in our minds to follow God's word. I'm going to give you that opportunity tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. Did the fear of God make sense? Was it clear tonight? Amen? So I have to ask you a question then. If it's clear tonight what the fear of God is in loving him, keeping his commandments, doing his will, hating evil, I want to ask you tonight, how many of you want to say, Lord, I want to follow that command. I want to fear you, but not be afraid of you. I want to be afraid of hurting you by my actions.